This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Portals and Portents by Leslie Heron. Chapter 10, Heliotrope.
Oh, did somebody lose their mom?
Piper knelt down until her heels were pressed against the back of her thighs and reached out to ruffle the boy's sandy hair with a smile.
Don't worry, we'll find her for you.
Evan swatted away the girl's gesture and scowled.
Watch it, missy.
He whipped out his dagger, brandishing it in her direction.
Hands off the curls, or you'll lose a finger.
Recoiling at the sudden appearance of a sharpened weapon, Piper lost her balance and fell back on her rump.
Whoa!
She used her mechanical hand to rub at the growing welt forming where she had been slapped.
Someone needs a nap.
Atticus helped his sister to his feet.
See, Piper? I'm not the only one who hates it when you do that.
She scowled down at the child, who, she now realized, looked much older in the face than the typical toddler. He was probably older than Atticus.
All right, Shorty. You said you know Vel? My name is Evan. Not Shorty, not Squirt, and definitely not Short Stuff.
He sheathed his weapon, squinting up at the two as he did. With dark skin and blonde hair, they each had similar appearances to both the Arcanist and the Queen. More duplicates? He shrugged to himself and nodded as he pushed his hands to his hips.
And yeah, I know Vel. The better question is, how do you two know him?
He gave his surroundings a quick scan.
Does that mean he's here? Evan. Evan.
Piper tapped her chin, racking her brain for any memory.
Nope, sorry. That name. Oh!
Atticus snapped his fingers.
Vel mentioned you. Remember, Piper, that one time when he had too much to drink and said, Evan's on loan to work off the debt his grandma accrued when she destroyed my house.
Excuse me, what?
Evan balked.
If he said that, then I think Vel has a gross misunderstanding of our contract.
He patted down the various pockets on his body.
I'm gonna have to set a few things straight. Is he with you?
Piper pulled a face and jerked a thumb over her shoulder.
Isn't that him right over there?
He wishes.
Evan scoffed, waving her off.
That's the prince.
Yo, Varen, visitors.
The man turned in their direction. His expression cycled through mild curiosity, confusion, and then happy surprise as he trotted over to them, scooping Piper up into his arms, squeezing her tight against his chest.
Ew! Gross!
She tried to squirm away, her face twisting in disgust.
You're all sweaty, Gramps! Oh, stop it!
Varen dropped her and took a hasty step back. Her voice was wrong. And now that he was closer, he saw that while she looked similar to the queen, her face was younger, and she didn't have the dappled skin of a Selkie. He signed a hasty apology. Piper raised an eyebrow suspiciously as she wiped her face with her sleeve.
What are you doing with your hands there, old man?
Having showcased an embarrassing amount of affection, she knew he wasn't really Vel, but the nickname was a hard habit to break.
Fascinating.
Unit 2 rolled to a stop beside her.
It appears to be a form of sign language. One moment, please.
His black eyes flickered briefly.
I have just acquired my translation package from storage and will be happy to interpret for you.
The robot fell silent for a moment, recalling the hand gestures from before.
He apologizes for his mistake.
Atticus beamed.
Oh, sign language! That must mean he's deaf!
He took several steps forward and placed a hand on his chest.
Hello! My name is Atticus!
Varen recoiled as the boy all but screamed at him. He shot a glance down at the dwarf, questioning the entire interaction with a raise of his brow.
Hey, what's the big idea?
Evan pushed his hands against his ears, rubbing them with his palms.
He's not deaf. He's mute.
though we might all be now.
Piper massaged at her own head.
Right, so definitely not Vel. I assume he isn't a long-lost relative, so why does he look like him?
Atticus moved towards the prince, tugging gently on his braid.
Because he's a parallel variant.
With a frown, Varen pushed away the kid's hand and signed, "What did you call me?"
"I bet this all has to do with that blue lightning we saw last night."
Atticus stroked his chin thoughtfully.
"Probably a simple case of transposition of two planar instances increasing the likelihood of encountering a deterministic offspring with similar genetic makeup."
Exchanging a look with the prince, Evan felt his mind rebel and his ears stopped listening halfway through.
"I got a rule about nerd speech. Don't."
Pouting, Atticus dropped his shoulders.
"Okay. That was the simple version of..."
He clapped his hands together.
"I'll explain it like you're a toddler. Our world hit yours, and people look the same on both sides because of science."
He wiggled his fingers for emphasis. With a scowl, Evan decided to let the jab slide.
"I'm going to take a wild guess that if you know Vel, it's probably the world Eric has been trying to break into."
Piper's eyebrows went up.
"Eric? As in Vel's brother Eric? He did this.
Him and his wonder twin, yeah, most likely. They've been holed up for months trying to make a portal to find him."
As Piper struggled to digest the information, she was continually brought back to the main issue on her priority list.
"We're trying to get back to Vel. Any idea where Avis is from here?"
"Sorry, sister. Never heard of it."
"How about Eric, then? Chances are those two might already be reunited."
Evan nodded.
"Sure, we could take you there. What do you say, Varen? Up for a road trip?"
Varen felt something in his gut sink to the floor. Just the mention of the doctor made his mind wander back to his own brother and how quickly he had been cast to the outskirts of the country. So desperate Elias had been to put distance between them, he never even apologized for all that had happened in the past. He shook his head, retreating back a few steps. Feeling like an intruder on an otherwise private moment, Piper watched as the prince hastily signed several things to the small child before turning his back on them and returning to his work. As he walked away, he glanced over his shoulder, offering her a look of apology? Regret?
"Why is he leaving?"
She looked back at the dwarf.
"What did he say?"
Shaking his head, Evan watched the prince avoid the situation and sighed.
"He said he's not coming with us."
He turned back, looking up at the girl.
"Varen and Elias don't really have the best relationship."
Piper's thoughts rolled to a halt. Her breath caught in her throat as her left hand moved unconsciously to her prosthetic.
"Did you say Elias?"
Evan pulled a face.
"Yeah, creepy dude, looks like Eric. You know him?"
Piper's metal fingers balled into a fist as she growled.
"Change of plan. We need to go find Vel right now."
"Why?"
"If Vel and Elias get in the same room, one of them isn't making it out."
Piper felt something pop, and she glanced down at her mechanical fingers, flexing them shakily.
"Come on," Evan laughed. "I know the old cyborg can be a hot ass, but he'd never kill anyone."
"Have you met Vel?"
She looked back to the small figure.
"They nearly killed each other last time before Elias escaped."
"Seriously?"
Piper threw up her hands.
"He literally caused a revolutionary war!"
Evan felt his features twist with worry.
"You really think Vel is in trouble?"
"If not to save him, then we definitely have to stop them from meeting and save everyone else on this planet."
Piper leveled a finger on Varen.
"Oi, shirtless and sweaty, get back over here."
The prince rubbed at the scruff on his face before he turned and obeyed, walking cautiously back towards them.
"Vel is headed for Eric, so we need to get there first and stop him."
Piper laid her mechanical hand on his forearm.
"I'm sorry you have issues with your brother, but we need to traverse a lot of ground, and without Vel here, you're the next best thing to an armed escort."
She watched his face twist in alarm, and he hastily signed something. Unit 2 translated.
I am useless in a fight.
Piper scoffed, playfully slugging him in the arm.
If you're anything like Vel, you have more Rinda than you know.
Varen looked pleadingly at Evan. He shrugged.
Sorry, man. She has a point. I can handle the fighting, obviously, but we're a lot less likely to run into trouble if we have the Crown Prince traveling with us.
Evan looked up at the girl.
Are you sure he's not out looking for you two or something?
Piper shook her head.
Nah. If I know Vel, he's out searching for his brother right now.
I told you, I'm not backtracking up the river to take you home.
Vel paced a deep trench in the tall grass, growling angrily at the growing migraine in his temples. There was also the pain in his arm, radiating throughout him, but he adamantly refused to let Amy turn any of it down.
You are infuriating!
Pyra folded her arms in front of her, scowling up at the stranger.
I'm not asking for a lazy stroll through the woods. My husband probably thinks me dead, and I need to get back to him and my people.
Vel threw out an open hand behind him, gesturing off into the distance.
Then be my guest.
First of all, I have no clue where you have dragged us off to.
Pyra kicked out one of her legs, showing off her bare foot.
And second, I have no shoes. How am I supposed to walk back?
Another growl escaped his throat, and Vel whirled away from her.
Sounds like a personal problem, princess. I've got to go find some kids that are likely in a lot of trouble.
Perhaps his vision was glitching again, but he could have sworn he saw a sliver of storm clouds hovering off in the distance. She wanted to argue, to push the issue further, but Pyra had gathered enough to know that that wouldn't work with this man. She unfolded her arms, leaning back on the rock she was still perched on.
All right, fair enough. But it would be in your best interest to return me to the Infinite Tower.
Vel clicked his tongue against his teeth, turning around with a flat look on his face.
And why is that?
Because Eric is there with my husband.
A familiar tightness gripped him in his chest, and Vel looked up into her eyes. He studied her for several moments, but saw no indication she was lying.
Eric is here?
That meant that everything that had happened in Avis, all those people, Eric had done it. For him. To get back to him. Pyra's lips pulled into a gentle smile as she realized her intuitions had been correct.
So you are Vel. I thought as much. Your temperament matches the description even closer than your appearance. Yes, your brother is likely back at the tower, working on...
She used her hands to indicate everything around her.
Fixing all of this, as is my husband, Elias.
Vel's eyes snapped up, his mind cutting through the haze of pain.
Elias?
Yes, the king. I was told you had some history with him, but... Rest assured, he has moved past whatever issues you two may have had.
Eric was working with Elias? That had to be a mistake. Vel took a slow, ragged breath. No, that actually sounded exactly like something his brother would do. He never had a sense for people and only saw the math. His exhale turned into a groan when he remembered confessing to Elias all about his brother's research into portals. Vel looked over his shoulder, back the way they had come. Eric was in the clutches of a madman and he didn't even know it. Thunder rumbled aloud behind him, puncturing his thoughts. He turned to see the storm hadn't been his imagination or a glitch. Piper and Atticus were still out there. He grunted and set his jaw firmly. Eric had made his own choices.
No, I have to find the kids.
Pyra let out a frustrated groan.
Oh, But why are you so stubborn? Just take me back, and then you can go find these children with the help of horses and the entire royal guard at your disposal.
Despite her lack of shoes, she got to her feet and marched through the grass until she was standing right behind him. Vel whirled around, his anger bubbling over.
Listen here, princess.
I am a queen.
I don't care.
His body was still reeling from the reintroduction to pain and the blood loss, and Vel felt the ground sway beneath his feet. He stumbled back a step, his anger evaporating. He sucked in a calming breath through his nose before addressing Her Highness once more.
I don't know what's going on here. I really don't, and I'm sorry you're so far from home. But those kids are the most important thing in my life right now. And if Elias is on the same continent as them, then they are in serious danger.
Pyra folded her arms across her chest once more. His current facial expression reminded her so much of Varen that she felt a pang of sadness when their eyes met.
My husband may have made some questionable choices, but he would never willingly put children at harm.
Vel let out a mirthless chuckle.
Then you don't know your husband as well as you think.
He shook his head.
He's obsessed with Atticus and probably has a grudge to settle with Piper. So I won't let him near them again.
Something in the queen's golden eyes reminded him of the night he almost lost the kids, and he felt it fuel his need to find them. Pyra opened her mouth to respond when a piercing, hollow shriek filled the sky. It rattled the very air around her and sent a shiver rippling across her spine.
What the hell was that?
Without even prompting her, Vel's AI kicked on, scanning their surroundings. But Amy came back with nothing of note, and he shot a questioning glance towards the queen. While she could say she had spent some time in the woods, Pyra was an islander at heart, and many of the denizens that skulked in the wildlands were just as foreign to her. She offered the man a shrug.
It doesn't sound friendly. Perhaps we should...
She indicated behind her with a nod of her head.
Retreat?
Vel scoffed.
Nice try. Stay here while I go and get a better vantage point.
The surrounding area was mostly rolling hills covered in tall grass, and they were down in a shallow valley between several large mounds. It provided shelter from the wind, but also limited his view. He climbed up the tallest hill, keeping low to the ground as he did. His belly hit the grass when he reached the top, hoping to avoid detection by whatever it was that made the sound.
Amy?
Enhance.
The picture in his cybernetic eye began to zoom in like a telescope, and the sudden, vast difference between his eyes left his head swimming. His hand snapped up to cover his real eye in hopes to stave off the motion sickness.
Oh, I don't like this upgrade.
He swallowed down the knot in his throat and focused up ahead. Something was moving in the grass. In fact, several somethings were moving in the grass, causing ripples where they darted through. Most were too small to identify, but he could make several of them out. Deer and the occasional wolf-like creature bounding above the surface. At first, he thought the predators were hunting, but there was no attack pattern, only blind, terrified flight from something bigger. As he swept his vision upward, he caught sight of it. A massive body, gleaming as rays of sun bounced off its armor plating. It tore up the earth in wide chunks with every shattering step.
Is that a dragon?
Don't be silly. Those are extinct now.
Vel jumped, snapping his head around in surprise. The sudden swing of the telescopic vision caused his stomach to flip, and he felt a wave of nausea roll over him. Amy didn't need prompting to adjust it back to normal, but the damage was done, and he held down a dry heave. He swallowed the bile and turned to the woman.
I told you to stay put.
She narrowed her eyes.
And I don't take orders from you. Tell me, what did you find?
Vel growled, slowing his breathing again.
Something down there is on the prowl.
He turned, looking again without the aid of enhanced sight. The metallic creature was barely visible, but the wider view made something clear. It wasn't hunting. It was running same as everything else. The storm clouds he had seen earlier were not nearly as far off as they had once appeared. And, as he noticed the blue streaks of lightning within, he understood why.
Oh no.
There was an explosion of small animals that burst out through the brush, paying them no mind in their rush to vacate the area. Pyra felt herself pushed down into the grass and a weight thrown atop her. She couldn't see anything save for the feet of rabbits and mice. Heavier footfalls rumbled the ground, rattling to her core as she could narrowly make out the cloven hooves of deer as they bounded around them. Her heart was hammering in her throat as she counted no less than 20 large beasts running away from them. When the vibrations faded and the air grew still, Pyra lifted her head. She could see that Vel had protected her from the horde of animals, and she sighed.
Thank you.
Don't thank me just yet.
He didn't give her time to question or argue as he scrambled to his feet. With a hand still wrapped around her, Vel hoisted her up off the ground and tossed her over his shoulder. She screamed in surprise and began to kick and protest.
Put me down!
Vel tried to grab her legs with his bad arm, but the pain was too much.
Stop struggling. We have to go and we don't have time to argue.
A proximity alert flared in his vision, and Vel turned just in time to dodge as a long branch rocketed past his face like a javelin. He stumbled back on the uneven slope, dumping the woman to the ground as he tried to catch his balance.
What the hell?
He managed to prevent himself from falling completely, and, after checking to make sure Her Highness was all right, he turned to see a figure charging up the hill they had just climbed. A woman, tall and angry, flung herself in his direction.
Get your hands off the queen! I look like a man.
Piper grimaced before giving her dress one last wistful glance as she handed it over to a group of smallish green women with long ears. While she was sad to see it go, she needed something more practical to travel in. If she was going to have to rough it through this woodsy terrain, a sparkly dress simply would not do. She looked down at the plain linen shirt and brown leather trousers with a small sigh.
I think you look wonderful.
Atticus offered her a knowing smile.
Like a knight who's really a princess, but pretends she's not so the evil king can't find her?
He gave her a hopeful look.
No, Atticus, I'm not going to read the Dragon Quest Chronicles.
She felt a pang of guilt as his face fell.
At least not until after we find Vel. If you two are done yammering, you might want to get packed.
Evan adjusted the straps on his bag and tested its weight by taking a step. When the entire thing didn't threaten to launch him into the earth, he looked up with a satisfied grin.
Who knows how long it'll take us to find Vel? Oh, I already packed everything.
Atticus pointed at Unit 2, who had a rolled-up pack the size of a small tent slung over his shoulders. Even on his impressive form, it was ridiculously large. A smile ran across Evan's face.
Huh, good idea.
He dropped his own bag off his shoulders and scurried up the machine to secure it alongside the rest of the gear. Perched atop an 8-foot machine felt natural, like he belonged there. He patted the robot on the head before jumping back down. Varen was standing near the door of the supply room, now fully dressed in a simple tunic. He shuffled his feet and tapped the hilt of his sword nervously. He was terrified of his brother, even if their last encounter had been civil. He stared at his armor and fur-lined cloak sitting on the floor with hesitation. He knew he felt silly, but if he donned that gear, it would be like he was giving up here. And he liked the work they had been doing. He was making a difference and helping people. Even Rassizi had come to respect him, albeit in her own way, but hey, splitting hairs and all that.
There you are!
The door burst open, causing Varen to nearly leap out of his skin as an angry voice pulled him from his thoughts. The imposing female orc stomped inside, leveling a finger at him. She looked as if she could tear them in two without breaking a sweat, and the way she was stalking towards him and his party made him feel like that was exactly what she was here to do.
"You think you can just sneak out of here without telling me?"
Varen backpedaled, attempting to hide behind his tiny companion.
"We're going on a rescue mission!"
Evan, who barely reached the orc's kneecaps, looked up at the woman and raised his hands in a placating gesture.
"We need Varen to help us reach the king!"
Rassizi belted out a bark of mildly insane laughter that brought tears to her eyes.
"Oh, no! No! You're not going, either of you!"
She calmed herself and narrowed her gaze. She motioned to the prince with a wiggle of her finger.
"Not until you figure out what to do with the horde of pampered idiots outside."
"Why do you need the prince for that?"
"Why?"
Rassizi turned her bloodshot gaze on Piper.
"I'll tell you why. Because they won't listen to me."
She felt completely put off by this statement.
"That's never happened before. I threaten them, and then they ask to speak to my superior. I tell them I am the superior, and they repeat the demand again, but with a more demeaning tone."
Her expression wavered between fury and disbelief.
"Nothing I say makes it through. I've had better arguments with Grunch."
She took in a deep, shaky breath.
"Normally, I would have gutted them all by now, but with the treaty..."
Piper gave her a consoling pat on the arm.
"Don't take it personally. They're idiots."
Rassizi snapped back to the moment and reached out, grabbing Varen by the shirt and hauling him in.
"If anyone here could be labeled as my superior..."
There was a note of hysteria in her words.
"It would be the Crown Prince."
She pulled him in closer.
"So you deal with them before we have an incident."
"No way."
Piper crossed her arms.
"He needs to get us to the king so we can avoid an incident of our own."
"Did I hear you say king?"
Captain Thorne, interested in the sudden uproar of voices, stepped into the cramped supply room with a curious smile on his face.
"That sounds like just the chap I would like to speak to."
Rassizi growled low in her throat as her free hand flexed anxiously to the hilt of her sword. But as the idea came to her, that anger was replaced by a sigh of relief. She turned back to the prince, still held in her grip, and grinned.
"It's settled, then. You'll be taking these humans on your little journey."
Vel felt the air leave his body in a rush as he was tackled by what looked like a living tree. She had long white hair that hung messily over two gnarled horns, a body protected by gleaming red armor, and piercing green eyes. All things that Amy was helpfully cataloging for him as they rolled down the far side of the hill. Skidding to a stop, Vel found the woman was instantly on top of him, her fist flying towards his face. He intercepted it, his mechanical hand catching hers and stopping it in midair.
"Listen, it's..."
There was a high-pitched whine, and his eyes went wide as the woman forced his cybernetic arm to the ground, pinning him in place while she began pummeling him with her free hand.
"Evasive maneuvers suggested."
With a grunt, Vel twisted his grip against her wrist, bending it the wrong way and eliciting a cry of pain. When she shifted away from him, he took the opportunity to roll, using her wrist to carry her with him. He reversed their positions and straddled her.
"Stop! I don't want to..."
Her fist impacted his chest hard enough to send him flying further down the incline, tumbling end over end. As his back impacted the hard earth, he felt the remaining air in his lungs leave him once more. Stars popped in his vision, but even that wasn't enough to obscure his glimpse of the storm now upon them. The wind was whipping around them, causing the long blades of grass to slap him in the face. There was a cry of pure rage, and Vel looked up just in time to see an elbow descending towards him. He rolled out of the way as the attack caused the dirt to explode where his head had been. He took advantage of the woman's focus and latched onto her back, wrapping his bad arm around her throat. The pain of the effort was excruciating, but he locked himself in place and held on as she attempted to push herself up.
None of this is what it looks like. Just...
stop! Pyra was sprinting down the hill after the two. The storm was engulfing them now, wind cutting at her exposed skin and lightning striking the ground around them, leaving small afterimages in her vision. She threw her hands over her head, ducking as a clap of thunder rang out. Vel screamed as the woman managed to sink her teeth into his arm, biting down and drawing blood, but he refused to let go.
Ah, did you just bite me?
His words were drowned out as a flash of blue struck a large rock nearby. And when the blinding light cleared from his vision, he saw that the rock was gone, replaced by a fading blue outline. Pyra flung herself atop the two, screaming at them over the storm. She couldn't get her fingers between them to pull Vel's arm away. She had managed to find purchase on a fistful of fabric when a crack rent the air and split the world in two. They were swallowed up by a swirling pool of blue and white. It felt like they were stretched, folded, and compressed on all sides before they were reformed and snapped out into the world once more. In midair, Pyra had only a moment to glimpse her surroundings before she impacted the soft ground that rushed up to greet them. Vel stared up at the sky, watching the storm roll on by without so much as a care for where it had deposited them. With a groan, he rolled to his hands and feet, ready to stop another onslaught of attacks, when his fingers sank into sand. He snapped upright, looking around. As far as he could see, they were standing in the middle of an endless expanse of shimmering, pearlescent sand. Rolling dunes of cascading earth shifted on the wind brought by the storm. He froze, that familiar panic settling into his fingertips. He wasn't asleep.
Amy?
Location unknown. Constellations indicate the jump was not transdimensional.
Grateful for that tidbit of information, he sank back down into the sand beside the other two as they began to stir. At least they weren't in the other world. Amy would have recognized it from his nightmares. Vel pushed his cheek into his hand as he let out a long exhale. It looked like none of them were going anywhere they had wanted anytime soon. We thank you for joining us for this chapter of the novel Of Portals and Portents, Book 4 by Leslie Herron in this ongoing series available here on Tall Tale TV. You can find links in the description to where you can listen to all her books and novellas, with new chapters appearing as they are being written and recorded.
So, you're sure Vel said I was paying off my granny's debt?
Oh, yeah. I remember I had just blown up a part of his workshop, and he was threatening to do the same thing to me.
Oh, man. What a jokester. Like Granny would ever do something like that.
I mean, yeah, he was kind of drunk at the time, so maybe not.
Well, now I'm curious. Let's see.
What is that?
Just a standard contract. Refunds, page 342. Okay. Section C, accidental death, nope. Section D, world-ending disaster, nope, not that either. Section K, destruction of personal property. All refunds shall be paid through indentured servitude of...
Granny! No! I'm not getting paid for this!